So I've recently started a ministry, an app ministry for sharing the gospel in different languages by apps. So that video was about that. So if you want to learn more about that, there's some of these cards at the back that have a bit of information about it. They're just on the bench back there. But I'm going to release some apps for free pretty soon, maybe in a month's time. The first one's going to be for keeping track of what books of the Bible you've read. So if you're interested, you can add your email address at the back too. There's a little sheet that you can write. Or give me a WhatsApp number. I can send it by that too. So today we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And I wanted to look at the topic of work in Proverbs. See what Proverbs has to say about work. But when I was preparing this talk on work, I realized that Proverbs isn't so much concerned about work as it is the lack of work, that is laziness. So there's actually a lot of Proverbs that talk about laziness. There's some that talk about work, but more often it's talking about laziness. So that's going to be our topic for today. Wonder what you think when you think about laziness. What comes into your mind when you think about laziness? The first thing that kind of came into my mind was this image. Anyone know what this is? Yeah, pharmacy, yeah. So it's a pharmacy in Vietnam. So I lived in Vietnam for 3 years. And the reason why this comes into my mind was when I first arrived, I'd go shopping after lunch, and I go walking around the shops. Whenever I went into a shop, there was no one in the shop. Does anyone know where they might be? Yeah, it could be at the back, but actually, more often, I'd go up to the counter and look around and look for the bell to kind of ring them. I'd be like, oh, hi. They're all sleeping under the counter. They're having their siesta. So almost all the time after lunch, all the staff would be sleeping under the counter. So that's the first thing that came into my mind. I mean, that's not really laziness, that's resting. So maybe when you think of laziness, you think, taking a break, relaxing. Or maybe you think of laziness as something a bit more irresponsible, something that you shouldn't be doing, or something that, like it's a bad thing. Maybe you think something more like this. Someone who's just lazy, can't be bothered putting the toilet roll on, just sticks it on top instead. Or maybe you think something like this. This is a bit lazy. It's meant to be saving people, but he's just sitting back in an armchair. What about this one? Does anyone get this one? Can't be bothered taking it out of the box. It's a doorstop. It just leaves it in the box and it uses it like that. Or how about this one? Might be a bit hard to see with the light. Can you see what's happening? So he's bought a chair, but he's just sitting on the box rather than sitting in the chair, rather than assembling it. Maybe you kind of think of that when you think of laziness, something like, lazy, basically. But actually, when it comes to Proverbs, have you ever thought of laziness as something dangerous? Does that ever come to your mind, that laziness could actually be dangerous? Because that's kind of how Proverbs talk about. Proverbs talks about laziness. Now, you might be thinking, is it this kind of laziness, like sleeping in a high-risk situation? This is a famous photo of a skyscraper in New York, I think, where back in the days when they didn't have safety harnesses, these guys are like 100 stories high and lying on a beam. That's pretty dangerous. Or maybe you kind of think this. I hope that track isn't operating at the time. How about this guy? Thankfully, if it did move, he'd just kind of roll off the side. He wouldn't go in the center because they'd be both moving the same direction. How about this guy? Don't want to forget about him when you take off, do you? So those are kind of dangerous situations where people are being a bit lazy. But that's not really what Proverbs has in mind. Rather, I went through, and this was the list I came up with when I looked at the different Proverbs, of how laziness can be dangerous. Because Proverbs says the results of laziness can be this many things. It could be poverty, could be hunger, disgrace, servitude, discomfort, difficulty, ungodliness, destruction, lethargy, so just weakness and feeling, having no energy, gluttony, being greedy and eating too much, missed opportunities, deception, and mediocrity, so just being substandard, not being anything special. Those are all the results of laziness according to Proverbs. And so we're going to dive into Proverbs now. If you haven't read much of Proverbs before, basically Proverbs are just kind of wise sayings. They're kind of like advice, but they're more like, if we've got Proverbs that you may know already, that are common ones that are spoken in Australia too, something like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Has anyone heard that one before? So if someone is providing you with stuff, don't annoy them or you won't get food anymore. So if your parents are providing for you, for example, don't really give them a hard time because they're the ones that provide for you. So the dog shouldn't bite the hand of the one feeding it, otherwise it's not going to get any food. So that's kind of a proverb. So they're kind of like advice, kind of like wise sayings. Some are really straightforward, some are obvious, whereas others are a bit more puzzling. Sometimes you need some time to think about them. For example, in Proverbs it doesn't say, blessed is the man who sleeps only up to 9 hours and foolish is the man who sleeps more than 9 hours. It's not like exact, like, if you do this, you're lazy, if you're not. It's more like situational, which is kind of like what life is like, right? Life is complex. It's not straightforward all the time. And so Proverbs kind of gives you wisdom to know how to act in different situations. But you often need to kind of chew on them. You need to think about them, ponder them a bit. And so that's what we're going to do today. So I'm going to ponder some Proverbs. I'll have them on the, because we'll go through quite a few, I have them on the screen, but you can look them up too if you like. Let's look at our first proverb. Chapter 12, verse 27. The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. So game is another word for an animal you've caught, if you don't know that. So the lazy do not roast any animals they've caught, but the diligent, the hardworking, feed on the riches of the hunt. Has anyone tried fishing? Who's here tried fishing? Hand up. So you guys never fished this side of the room? Never fished ever? Wow, okay. So about half of you have fished. How many of you like to fish? Okay, one or two. That's good. So not quite half the room anymore, but a few. And why do you reckon that might be, that quite a few people try to fish and then they don't do it regularly? Well, I think this proverb is pretty spot on, right? If you're lazy with fishing, if you want instant results, then you're not going to catch anything. Whereas if you're hardworking, if you're diligent and patient and you actually put in the effort and wait to catch the fish or do what you have to, then eventually you're going to get the reward, right? You're going to catch a big one eventually. The more you try. Because many pleasures in life require work. If you don't put in the effort, if you don't put in the work, you're not going to get a reward. But I think this is increasingly hard to understand for our generation, because we live in a time of prosperity. We live in Australia at the moment, and there's no war that concerns us, at least. There's no famine, the economy's going well. We're all pretty well off, really. And so actually you can enjoy many pleasures without having to work hard for them, especially if you're living at home with your parents. You can enjoy unlimited Netflix subscription or watching YouTube constantly, unlimited internet, don't have to pay for it. You can enjoy all that stuff without working, so that's pretty good. But for those of us who have a job, you know it's not so easy when you actually have to work and earn your own pleasures. Because if you don't do well in school and you can't get into uni and can't get a degree, actually you can still get a pretty decent job. You can go to TAFE, you can do lots of other things that get you a really decent job, and you can actually really enjoy yourself and get paid quite well, even without a uni degree. But What if you're lazy? If you're lazy, then you're going to pretty quickly find out that you're not going to have your job for long. So regardless of your education, you can still get a good job, but if you're lazy, it doesn't matter what education you have, you're not going to last very long in the workforce. And so it's pretty simple, straightforward proverb, right? It's teaching us that laziness is actually bad for you. If you don't put in the effort, then you're not going to get the reward. And everyone's going to find that out soon enough when they go to work. All right, how about the next one? Let's have a look at another one. Chapter 13, verse 4. A sluggard's appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. So a sluggard is another word for someone who's lazy. So a lazy person, their appetite is never filled, but the desires of the diligent, the hardworking, are fully satisfied. I wonder, what's the longest you've ever binged something? The longest you've ever binged a TV show or maybe a game? I wonder what that would be. Did you know that if you binge watch all the Marvel movies, that the story arc from Iron Man 1 all the way to Endgame, how long do you reckon that would take you to binge that? 286, have you calculated this already? I have to do that in my head. How many days is that? So what I hear is that it's 2 days, so 48 hours almost. So, a bit longer. Maybe you're including some other ones as well. But from Iron Man 1 to Endgame, apparently it's 2 days, so day and night, 48 hours. It's for 2 days. I'm not sure if you guys are in what kind of TV show. Everyone watches something different these days. Back in the day, like my friends used to watch Pokemon. If you watch all of the Pokemon episodes, how long do you reckon that would take you? Apparently, 21 days and 9 hours. And that's day and night, right? 48 hours. 21 days of your life watching Pokemon. And if you've seen all the episodes, then that's you.
First season, 1 week of latest season.
I don't know. This is what I got off a website. Yeah, I don't watch Pokemon. Yeah, but here's another example: MasterChef. Who's into MasterChef? Anyone? My wife is watching MasterChef at the moment. She loves it. She only started in the last season. But if you watch MasterChef from the very beginning and didn't miss an episode, you would have spent about 45 days of your life watching MasterChef. It's more than a month of your life just watching MasterChef. But the thing is with binge watching, if you've ever binge watched, I'm sure some of you have, or you played a game like endlessly, it's satisfying to a point, but you're never fully satisfied, right? After it, you kind of feel like you've wasted a bit of time, or you feel like you should do something productive now that you've just spent your life watching TV. You get kind of satisfied to a point, but never fully satisfied. Well, the thing is with laziness is you're basically putting your own pleasure, your pursuit of happiness and pleasure, over other things, over responsibilities, over other things like that. And this is also known as something called hedonism. Hedonism is a word which means basically your ultimate goal in life is to be happy and have pleasure, which is very common in Australia, right? Like, a lot of Australians are hedonists. Their ultimate goal is to be happy and have pleasure. But the problem with hedonism is there's no end to it, right? What happens after you've binge-watched that season of that favorite TV show? You look for the next TV show, right? You look for something else to watch. What happens when you finish that game and you start to get bored of it? If it's Fortnite, you're waiting for the next season to come out. If it's some other game, you're waiting for the next one to come out. You're waiting for E3 announcements. I'm waiting for Cyberpunk at the moment. But there's no end to it, right? As soon as you've played that next game that comes out, there'll be a better one next year. There's no end when your pursuit is hedonism. Whereas I think this proverb teaches us that those who are diligent, those who do work and aren't just lazy and just pursuing pleasure all the time, they actually find some fulfillment. They actually are satisfied because they put in the hard work and then they receive the reward at the end, and it's satisfying. They achieve goals rather than just having endless desires over and over. So that's another reason why laziness is bad for you. It's just a pursuit of pleasure that will never leave you fully satisfied. How about one last one, why laziness is bad for you? All right, chapter 12, verse 11. Those who work their lands will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. This proverb is actually repeated twice in Proverbs, so it must be an important one. Those who work their lands will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. When I was learning to speak Vietnamese in Vietnam, my teacher would tell me Vietnamese stories, like kids' stories and folk tales, to help me learn the language. And one of them was this story about this farmer. He's a rice farmer. He's in his field doing his work, planting his rice, etc. And one day, he sees this rabbit hopping through his field. And I think he goes to catch it, but he scares the rabbit. And it runs away, but hits its head on a tree and breaks its neck and dies. Now, what's your reaction when you hear that story? My reaction was, oh, poor bunny. Felt sorry for it. But then my teacher was, no. Happy farmer. He gets to eat it. It's free food. It's free meat. And so this farmer was so happy that he came across this bunny that accidentally killed itself and he got to eat it without even having to catch it, that the next day he goes out to work, and this time he just sits down, he doesn't work, and he waits for the next bunny to come along and kill itself so he can eat it. Now, what's the moral of that story? It's pretty similar to this proverb, right? Those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. He got lucky once, but he's very unlikely to each day be able to come out and get a rabbit. And the thing with, I think perhaps there could be many examples for this, but I'll give you one example I think in real life where this might apply is gambling. Now let's think about gambling for a moment. What is gambling? It's basically laziness. It's basically what gambling is, because you're basically, instead of working to earn money, you're hoping to get rich off what? Off the gambling company? No. You're not getting rich off the gambling company. You're getting rich off other people's work. Because the only reason why the gambling company has money is because everyone else gambles and puts all their money in. So basically, it's everyone putting their money in, and only one person gets the reward. So gambling is basically laziness. You're getting rich off other people's work. And there's three reasons why gambling is silly. I think, firstly, others must lose for you to win. The only reason why you can win is if everyone else loses and you get their money. That's how gambling works. Second reason, people who gamble are trying to, like the proverb says, chase a fantasy. They're trying to get rich and get set up for life so that they don't have to work anymore. But as we just looked at the previous proverbs, right, that endless pursuit of pleasure is not actually satisfying. Actually, work is something God gives us to do, and it gives us satisfaction when we complete our work, complete goals, and get reward for it. But if you're just going to be set up for life, if you're just going to be binge-watching TV for the rest of your life, you're not actually going to find any satisfaction in that. It'll be fun for a bit, but you'll get bored of it. And finally, the probability says you're going to lose. Gambling is foolish because it's chasing a fantasy, as the proverb says. You're chasing something that you're very, very unlikely to succeed in. And so there's a few reasons why laziness is actually bad for you. You might think it's good for you. You might think, yeah, lazy, I get to watch TV like for a week and not have to do anything. But actually, that can actually be bad for you. But it's not just bad for you, it can be bad for others as well. Here's two more proverbs about how it can be bad for other people when you're lazy. Chapter 10, verse 5. Let's look at this one. He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. When I got out of school, I started this job in the city, and I worked about one day a week. But they'd sometimes call me at home when they needed stuff to be done because I wasn't in all the time. So they'd have to call me and ask me to do stuff. And at that time, I was really into gaming, so I was gaming a lot. And usually I'd go to bed at like 4 a.m. after a gaming session. So I was always exhausted in the morning. But my boss works at 8 a.m. in the morning. And so one day he really needed this urgent task for this client, this customer who had come. And he needed to give something to them really quickly. So he needed this done in that morning, like in a few hours. And so he called me up at 8 a.m. And I was so tired, I was just kind of feeling around for the phone, didn't even see who it was. And then my boss is like, can you do this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, sure. And I put it down, like, okay, I got to get up. I'll just rest for a moment. I fell asleep for a few more hours, and when I woke up, it was already too late. The customer had gone. And my boss was not happy with me. Even though I intended to get up, I was so tired, I just fell back to sleep and couldn't help it. Those who work their lands will have... He who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Because the thing is, we have responsibilities when we're working, and usually you're not working just for yourself, you're working for other people too. And so when you don't fulfill your commitment, when you're lazy, you actually affect other people too. I wonder if this son actually ends up going to gather the crops later on, but it's too late, the harvest has already passed and the crops have died, or the seeds have fallen. Or maybe he just doesn't gather them at all. Either way, he's missed the opportunity and he's been lazy and it's affected his family. And basically, in this case, laziness is putting his own pleasure in front of other people, in front of his responsibilities to other people. How about one more? One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. That's pretty strong, isn't it? One who is lazy in his work is brother to one who destroys. I think what's that saying is that he's connecting laziness with destruction. That's huge, right? No one would usually think of laziness as destruction. How would it be destruction? Well, I can think of one clear example, actually, one of my friends, not in Australia, but working for another business in another country, that's job was to distribute aid to poor people. So this business would receive donations from people and they'd distribute aid to the poor people and help them out. And my friend was really keen to work in aid, so he works in this business. But when he'd go to work, he was really surprised. Because when he turned up, people were drinking alcohol in the morning, which is a bit strange. It's not always wrong to drink alcohol at work. But they didn't just drink alcohol, they got drunk in the morning. And then by the time lunchtime came and they'd eaten, they were so tired that they just decided to go home and skip the afternoon. And this didn't just happen like one day, this happened like over and over and over. So these people would turn up to work, this company that's meant to be helping poor people, get drunk, get too tired to work, and then go home early. And that's actually destruction, isn't it? Because they're being lazy, and it doesn't look like they're immediately harming anyone, but actually by not fulfilling their commitments, by not being responsible in their job, they're actually destroying the lives of all those poor people who need aid. And so that's an extreme example, but it's the case that usually when you're in some kind of work, you're usually helping someone in some way. And so you have a responsibility, whether it's a customer, whether it's a client, whether it's your boss, whether it's your parents. In some way, your laziness can have a big impact on other people. And so in some ways, laziness can be like a slow form of destruction. And so that's why laziness is bad for you, it's bad for other people. And finally, I think Proverbs gives us some advice on how we can kind of act instead. In this passage that we had read at the start, chapter 24, it reads, "I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere, the ground was covered with weeds, the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw." And so the thing with Proverbs is that it gives us these pictures and tells us to learn a lesson from it. It doesn't tell you exactly what to do. It doesn't say sleep no more than 9 hours or whatever. But it gives you a picture, and you're meant to learn a lesson from it. And here's one of those pictures. It's one of the most interesting Proverbs, I think. The sluggard says, "There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square." What do you guys reckon that might mean? Any ideas? It's a bit of a random one. So a lazy person says, "There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square." Why would they say that? Sorry? The lion doesn't move? He's basically making an excuse, right? So he's like, "Oh, I heard there's a lion about. It's not safe to go outside. I guess I'll have to not work today and stay at home." It's kind of your ancient Hebrew version of the dog ate my homework kind of excuse. Or perhaps today it could have been something like, "Oh, there's delays on the train tracks today. I guess I'll just stay at home." Or, some other excuse as to why you don't go to work. What we learn from this, don't make excuses. And quite often we can fool ourselves. Quite often we might not even like subconsciously realize we're making excuses, but actually when it comes down to it, it's just a laziness at work. And this is another one that we had read at the start too. Chapter 6, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, no ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." And so he tells us to learn an example from ants, because ants, right, they have a queen, but no one's actually looking at them when they go to work, are they? There's like a big trail of ants, and they're all hard working, they're all doing their thing and bringing food back for everyone. There's no like boss ants that are sitting on the sidelines going, "You, get a move on," and stuff like that, except in the movies maybe. But when you look at ants, they're just doing their thing, working hard for the whole community, and no one needs to keep track of them. No one needs to pay attention and keep them accountable. I think Proverbs tells us to be like that. I was amazed one time when I went to a friend's house. He'd recently moved out of home, and he started renting this place with other friends. And it was like, horror story. It was like something you'd see in a movie and you wouldn't expect in reality. This isn't the actual image, but this is the closest thing I could find on the internet as to what it was like. I just went in this room with these guys that lived together, and I was like, "You are the most stereotypical like guys ever." The place was, there was more like junk on the floor than there was carpet. Like you had to kind of find the little spots that were free. To get into his room, and I was helping him fix his internet, and his router was like under this pile of papers. It was just the messiest thing I've ever seen. Now, why do you think that happens? Why do some people live like that when they get out of home? And it's obviously not pleasant, right? I'm sure they don't want it to be like that. So why do they end up like that? Well, the thing is, as soon as they don't have their parents around to tell them what to do, they don't have anyone to discipline them, right? They don't have anyone to tell them what to do. They don't have that person to say, "Clean up your room" or "Do the dishes" anymore. They can get away with it. And so that's what they do. They get away with it. And that's how they live. Because just like the proverb said, they have no one to keep them accountable. But the proverb says, look at the ant and learn from it. It doesn't need someone to keep them accountable to be able to be self-disciplined. And so I think all of these proverbs, especially this one, is calling out for self-discipline, calling out for people, for us, to be self-disciplined, to not require the parents to tell us what to do, not require your boss to keep you accountable, tell you what to do. You should be able to do it yourself. A wise person will discipline themselves. But how about the New Testament? So that's Proverbs. How about we jump to the New Testament for a moment? Not that we have to. I think Proverbs tells us what to fear God means. In the very start of the book, it tells us to fear God, and it says these Proverbs are so that we can do what is right and just and fair. So it teaches us good ways to live. But nevertheless, we'll jump to the New Testament quickly. And in fact, Paul expected believers, us Christians, to be the same, to not be lazy either. He even had a rule in a church he visited in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where he said, "The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." Imagine having that rule at this church. Would you guys be in favor of that rule? So the one who doesn't help out at church doesn't get to eat. Because that's actually the rule that Paul had in that church, to keep people accountable, to not let them be lazy. And anyone that was neglecting to take care of those under them, so their kids or their family, he says was worse than an unbeliever in 1 Timothy 5. So Paul took it very seriously. Laziness is one of those things that we can quite easily get away with as Christians, but actually Paul took it very seriously. He also tells us that when you work for others, whether it's your boss, whether it's your parents, whoever it may be, he tells us to, whatever you do, work hardly as if you're working for the Lord, as if you're working for Jesus. Not that you are directly working for Jesus, but because, act like you are, because that's the way God made us. That's the way he wants us to live. And finally, Paul also said in Romans chapter 12, do not be lazy in zeal, but be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Because the thing is, you can be actually quite hardworking in your life, but you can actually be lazy in faith. We also not only need to be hardworking in our jobs and our life, but we need to be fervent in spirit, passionate about the faith. Jesus even describes Christian life in some ways as a harvest, where we go out. The harvest is ready. We're meant to go out and harvest to share the gospel and bring people into God's family. But I wonder, can we sometimes be lazy in the harvest, sleeping during the harvest, as that proverb said before? So hopefully now you can all see how laziness can be dangerous for yourself, your own satisfaction. Could be harmful for others, and it could be harmful for your faith as well. And so we actually need to start learning self-discipline now. Start learning to be self-disciplined now. And there's no lazy way you can attain it either. It takes practice, it takes perseverance, it takes prayer. But you'll actually be rewarded many times over if you do this. There is actually a proverb that says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. So hopefully you won't just agree with not being lazy in talk, but actually act on it as well. Let me pray for us to close. Dear God, thank you for Proverbs, this creative form that you communicate to us with through these sayings, through these poems. Help us to be self-disciplined. Help us to not require someone to tell us what to do, but work hard as if we're serving you, because we love you, because we want to be obedient and not lazy as you command us. Most of all, we want to please you. Amen.